You are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not grieve. Do not grieve. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. A number of years ago, I read a story about a woman named Edith who lived in Maryland. One Saturday afternoon, coming from her neighbor's house, she walked into her house. And as she walked into her house, she saw three of her youngest children huddled together, concentrating with intense interest on something on the floor. As a parent, I have learned that when your child is quiet, you better see what's going on. As she slipped near them, trying to discover the center of their attention, she couldn't believe her eyes. Smack dab in the middle of the circle of her children were several baby skunks. Not wanting them to get sprayed, she screamed at the top of her voice, "Children, run!" Each kid grabbed a skunk and ran. Sometimes things just don't turn out the way you planned. Sometimes life doesn't go the way you planned. And when it comes to this situation with the skunks, we can laugh. But when your life takes a turn, when your life enters a valley, when your life enters a storm, most of the time you don't laugh. Instead, fear, frustration, anxiety, anger, discouragement rise up within you, seeking to drain the joy out of your life. Perhaps you've come here this morning and you've exchanged the morning's pleasantries of, "Good morning, how are you? Oh, I'm doing fine." The truth is, you may not be fine this morning. You're in a valley or a storm, and you come here needing renewed joy. And listen, this is true not only for individuals, but for groups, for whole congregations. We together, we can be in a place of fear, worry, anxiety, frustration, and discouragement. And that can just suck the joy out of being the Lord's church. And a joyless church is a contradiction in terms. I mean, joyless and church are two words that just don't go together. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Jesus gives to those who believe in him his very own joy. So our text this morning from Nehemiah chapter 8 is super relevant and right on time. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We want to answer three questions this morning. What is the joy of the Lord? How is it strength? And how do we get it? What is the joy of the Lord? How is it strength? And how do we get it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. First, let's set that line, that scripture that we've heard so often in its biblical context. Here's what was happening. The Israelites in the Old Testament kept breaking God's commandments, God's word, God's law. They kept turning to idols. They kept oppressing the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner in their midst. They persisted in their false and insincere worship. And so God sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to warn them. He sent Isaiah and Amos and Hosea and many others, but the people of God did not change. And so God allowed the military power of Babylon to invade and destroy Israel. They leveled Jerusalem to the ground, not leaving a stone on another. They reduced Jerusalem to rubble. And the Israelites who were not killed in war were carried off across the desert 500 miles to Babylon. And they were just held there captive in Babylon. They were held captive in Babylon for 70 years. After 70 years, they were allowed to return home to rebuild. And you can imagine how daunting and difficult it was to try to rebuild the city of Jerusalem with a fraction of the population. Not only that, there were enemies all around Israel who opposed the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So the Bible tells us the people start this daunting, sometimes discouraging, always difficult work of rebuilding the city. Maybe there are areas of your life you are rebuilding, and right now all you see is rubble around you. Rubble in your family, rubble in your relationships, rubble at work, rubble in your own heart. What are you in the process of rebuilding this morning? We can certainly agree that this ministry is in a season of rebuilding. The community has changed and is continuing to change. Members move away and will continue to move away. The things the church used to do years ago just don't work in 2019. We are in this hard yet exciting season of rebuilding. So the Israelites, they start rebuilding Jerusalem. And by the time you get to chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah, the people realize in all of their building, in all of their working, the people begin to realize that it's not just about the brick and mortar. It's not just about getting stuff done. They realize it's not just about creating a to-do list, and if we can click off our to-do list, then we are success. They realize that it's not just about the doing. They realize that it's not just about rebuilding the temple or the walls around Jerusalem. Those things have a place. But what was more important was the spiritual renewal, the spiritual health, vitality, and strength of the people. The Israelites began to see that it really wasn't about the brick and mortar. For, listen, underneath and behind the thing you're trying to rebuild in your life is the need to make spiritual renewal a priority. God has to be in it. God, hear me, Derrida Church, God has to be in it. The Bible says, lest the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. The Bible says that it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God's got to be in it. Whatever you're trying to rebuild, God's got to be in it. If God ain't in it, you can build a house, but it won't be a home. If God ain't in it, you can build a temple, but it won't have the presence of the Lord. If God ain't in it, your heart can pump blood, your lungs breathe air, but you're not truly living. If God ain't in it, you can work in your church, but your church won't work. God's got to be in it. So in chapter 8, the people turn their attention to, they focus on They make top priority the spiritual health and renewal of the nation. They gather in the square. Ezra, the priest, is on a high wooden platform flanked by the leaders of Israel to his left and to his right. Ezra then opened the scroll of the word of God, and when he did, all the people stood up, reverence to the word. Ezra praised the Lord, and all the people lifted their hands and said, "Amen, amen." They bowed down and worshiped. And then the Bible says, for six hours from sunup till noon, Ezra read the scriptures while some of the other priests explained parts of the text to the people so that they could understand. And as the word was read, the Bible says the people wept. They wept. Church, when you get serious about your spiritual life, you'll notice that the Bible will often cut you and then heal you. It will break you, then restore you. It will show you your complete inadequacy and then fill you with strength. So the people wept as the word of God was read. Then in verse 10, Nehemiah tells the people to celebrate. He says, celebrate, celebrate. He says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is the gladness of your soul that comes from knowing you have a right relationship with God, and because of that relationship with God, you live with an expectation of receiving good from God. Put those two things together. The joy of the Lord is the gladness of your soul that comes from knowing you have a right relationship with God. And because of that right relationship with God, you live with the expectation that no matter what you go through, you're going to receive good from God. You're going to receive God's best. The reason we get stuck in fear, worry, anxiety, and discouragement is because we stop expecting good from God. And the Bible gives you a great assurance about your relationship with Him. In spite of your sin, in spite of the punishment you deserve, Jesus Christ died on a cross as your substitute. He paid the price for your sin. And when you trust Him, when you put your faith in Him, your sins are forgiven. You are reconciled to the Holy God. And the righteousness of Jesus is given to you. The sinless record of Jesus is imparted to you. And therefore, if you are a believer, if you are in Christ, when the Father looks at you, He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus. In Jesus, your relationship with God is settled. And therefore, because the relationship is settled, you have every right to expect good from God, who now, through Christ, is your Father. In Jesus, you live, move, and have your being in the goodness, in the favor, in the blessing of God. In Jesus, God makes all things work for your good. Because the Lord is your shepherd, God's goodness follows you all the days of your life. You may be going through something right now, but it's okay because God's goodness is following you. And even when you die, you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus, the whole trajectory of your life is toward the goodness and blessing of God. Now, of course, this does not eliminate hardship or pain or valleys or storms in your life, but it does mean that if you have a right relationship with God, this gladness of soul, this joy doesn't leave you because you know that no matter what happens, God is working it out for your good. Listen, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to believe on the one hand that God is almighty, that he loves you, that he has paid the price for your sin in Jesus Christ, and then on the other hand, not trust him to do good in your life. It just doesn't make sense. But a lot of Christians are there. It's like, oh yeah, I believe Jesus died for my sin. I believe God loves me. I believe that God is almighty and can do anything he wants to. But I'm filled with worry, fear, anxiety, discouragement, because I just don't think it's going to turn out good. Those two things don't go together. The joy of the Lord is the gladness of your soul that comes from knowing you have a right relationship with God. And because of that right relationship with God, you live with an expectation that good is coming. It might be a little hard right now, might be a little difficult right now, but good is coming. God is good to me. Remember, we used to sing that song back in the 80s, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, he's so good to me. He's so good to me. Well, how is joy strength? Joy is strength in that it is protection, it's motivation, and it's power. It's protection, it's motivation, and it's power. It is, first of all, protection. The Hebrew word in Nehemiah that in English is translated strength, that Hebrew word also means stronghold or fortress or place of refuge and protection. Psalm 18 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. A fortress is a place where your enemy can't defeat you. A fortress is a place where you are just, you're strong. Joy is a fortress. It is a place of protection from the enemy. Listen, again, when the Israelites were rebuilding Jerusalem, their enemies used ridicule, criticism, deceit, and threats to try to stop them. And Christians, you just got to know that the enemy of your soul, the devil, will use ridicule, criticism, deceit, and threats to stop you. Joy is your protection. It is a mighty fortress against the lies and the negative thinking from the devil that would keep you stuck in worry, fear, anxiety, and discouragement. Joy is strength in that it is protection. Joy is also motivation. Back in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, the people said in verse 10, listen to this. They said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild. They just looked around and they saw all the hard work that needed to be done, and they just didn't have the motivation to keep going. And sometimes you and I just get weary in life. We get weary in the church. We look around and we see all the rubble. We see what needs to be done and we just lose our motivation. But just think about the difference in doing something you like to do versus something you don't like to do. When you're doing something you don't like, it seems it will take forever to get it done. But when you're doing something you enjoy, you are like the Energizer Bunny. There is this internal motivation to keep going and to keep going and to keep going. Joy is strength in that it is this internal motivation to keep going, even in the midst of rubble. Joy is protection, it's motivation, and joy is power. It's power. Joy is a reminder that self-effort alone is not enough to see success in the work of God. Many Christians lack spiritual power because they lack joy. The Holy Spirit gives both joy and spiritual power. When you draw near to God, when you abide in Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit who gives joy and power. Joy is strength in that it's protection, it's motivation, and it's power. So then how do you get this joy? How do you get this gladness of soul? Well, I think this might be the most challenging thing for us this morning. But here it is. The way to joy, the way to joy is to rejoice. The way to joy is to celebrate. Don't wait until you feel joy before you rejoice. Don't wait to feel joy before you celebrate. The way to do it is to do it. The way to do it is to do it. Look, the way to joy is to rejoice. You can rejoice by choice. You can choose joy. Amen. Oh, the Presbyterians are coming alive this morning. All right, Presbyterians, watch out now. You can choose this. Listen, in this way, joy is just like gratitude. You don't wait until you feel grateful before you give thanks. The Bible makes it a command. Be thankful. And it's in the giving thanks that you start to feel the gratitude. Joy is the same way. It's in the rejoicing, it's in the celebrating that you start to feel the joy. So rejoice by choice. Rejoice by choice. Rejoice by choice. The problem with many Christians is that we're just sitting back with arms folded, waiting for something to happen so that we begin to feel joy. Well, when I feel it, that's when I will act on it. The way into joy is to rejoice. Celebrate. Rejoice by choice. I mean, we even see this in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was sitting in a jail cell. He's sitting in a prison cell, and he's writing the letter we know as Philippians in the New Testament. And he writes these words. He writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Right? This is not wait until you feel it. Wait until your circumstances are just right. Wait until all the stars align or it's your birthday or something else. No, you rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice by choice. And listen, the reason you can do this is because joy is the gift of God to his people. If you are a Christian, if you are a disciple of Jesus, then joy is already in you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go climb some mountain or go on some retreat. You don't have to go somewhere to get joy. It is already in you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but you must do something with that gift. Somebody could give you $1 million, put it right smack in your bank account. Would you just let it sit there? No, you would do something to access that money in that account. Don't let the gift of joy go unaccessed. It's in you. But you've got to choose joy by rejoicing. You choose joy By celebrating. Someone comes to you next week and they're just looking down at the ground and everything's wrong with their life. You just tell them, choose joy. Choose joy. I mean, this is exactly what's happening in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah said to the people, go, enjoy choice food, that is fat food that was considered the tastiest, the best food. Go, enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. And you got to understand that that kind of feasting in ancient Israel was associated with celebrating the goodness and grace of God. It wasn't just about eating and stuffing your face. It was about celebrating the goodness of God. And they sent food to those who had little because they wanted to see as many people in the community get into this joy. And so that's one reason why we do the community dinner. We want everybody to share in this joy of the Lord. And then Nehemiah tells the people, do not grieve. That's another command. Do not grieve. Just as the Bible says, do not worry, do not be anxious, do not be afraid. Christians, you are not helpless in the face of negative emotions. There are Christians who will say, I can't help how I feel. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Over and over and over again, we see remedies for negative emotions in the Bible. So here we have the command, do not grieve. Nehemiah says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Derida Church, would you choose joy? Derida Church, would you choose joy today? In spite of the challenges in this ministry, would you choose joy? Would you start rejoicing? In the time that I've been here, can you believe it? Next month will be the end of my second year here. In the time that I've been here, some have commented on my energy. And let me tell you, that's really nothing unique to me. It simply comes from a mindset of celebration. When I get up on Sunday morning, I think, oftentimes I say out loud, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So, if there are only a few people who show up in worship, you know what? I'm going to celebrate Jesus. If my favorite song is in the worship playlist or not, you know what? I'm going to celebrate Jesus. If the weather outside is frightful, you know what? I'm going to come here and I'm going to celebrate Jesus. How about you? Are you waiting for something up here to happen to put something on you in order to feel the joy? Or to write a church, will you just rejoice by choice? The theme for this year is 52 weeks of joy. Our agenda this year is joy. You know what we're trying to accomplish this year?
Joy.
That's all we're trying to do this year is joy. You want to know my agenda for 2019? Becoming a church that is energized and driven by joy. That's it. That's all I'm trying to do this year. And watch me. I am going to, in everything I do in this house, I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to rejoice by choice. Perhaps you will join me. Because I believe that Jesus is worth celebrating. I believe he's worth having somebody on the other side of the room turn their head and look at me because I got a little loud and said amen. I believe he's worth getting out of my comfort zone and pouring out my praise and thanksgiving to him. I just believe Jesus is worth celebrating. I don't know about you, but he's been good to me.